As we continue in worship, we have the opportunity to turn toward the scriptures. We'll be reading in the Gospel of John, the first chapter, verses 29 through 43. Last week, we read about Jesus' baptism. And so in the Gospel of John, we don't get the story of Jesus' baptism, but we do get John the Baptist who talks about it and is telling the people that there's going to be one who's coming after him. And so this scripture takes place after Jesus' baptism. John the Baptist is still at the river Jordan. So it says, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He is on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and testified that this is the Son of God.'" The next day, John was again standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" Jesus said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for this time of worship this morning, that we might gather in this place to meet one another, to be encouraged by one another, and to know that we're not on this journey by ourselves, but also to read about these scriptures and to be reminded of how you call us to follow you, that we might be transformed by your love and generosity, by your compassion, by your relationship that you desire with each one of us. So, Lord, I ask that you speak through me and inspire me this day, that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. There was a Mercedes commercial, TV commercial a few years ago that showed a Mercedes crashing into a concrete wall during a safety test. An engineer in a white coat walks over to the after the crash and kneels down to examine the damage. The damage turned out to be minimal. And so a reporter then asked the engineer about the Mercedes' energy-absorbing car body. After the engineer tells all about this unique design that Mercedes-Benz has, the reporter asks, "Well, why don't you put a patent on it? A design copied by several other companies because of its success." The engineer responded matter-of-factly. He says, "Because some things in life are too important not to share. Some things in life are too important not to share." How true that is. There are many things in life that are too important not to share. Advances in science and in medicine and technology, especially those things that save the lives of others. They're too important not to share. As we join together in worship this morning, we join together because we have come to know of a God in Jesus Christ who can and does save lives. And friends, that's too important not to share. Last week we read that story of Jesus' baptism by John in the Jordan, and the sinless Jesus experiences the waters that come upon him, and he hears those words, "You are my beloved, in whom I am well pleased." Again, the scripture this morning takes place at the River Jordan, where John the Baptist is baptizing people, and there's Andrew present, one of John's disciples who's been following John's teachings and baptizing people in the river. Andrew's brother, Simon, is also there with him as well, and they're both fishermen in Galilee, known for their hard work and dedication. So we had the birth of Jesus. There's Jesus in the temple. There's Jesus being baptized. And now we're seeing Jesus calling his disciples. Jesus asked the two disciples of John, "What are you seeking?" And they asked Jesus, "Well, where are you staying?" Jesus says, "Come and you will see." And they go with Jesus, and they are hanging out with Jesus. And come and see. Jesus' response to those who were asking, we didn't see arm twisting, we didn't see gimmicks, we didn't see Bible thumping or guilt tripping, no apparent pressure, just a simple forthright invitation from Jesus to follow him, to come and see, to come and experience, to come spend time with me, that your life might be transformed and you might know a new way of life. Come, follow me, Jesus says. Come with me, and with eyes of faith, allowing yourself to be open to the transforming of Christ's Spirit. Come, follow me. Be with me. In Marcus Borg's book, Meeting Jesus Again for the First Time, he wrote, "Believing in Jesus is a movement from secondhand religion to firsthand religion, from having heard about Jesus with our ear to being in a relationship with Jesus with our life. It's a matter of firsthand encounter with God about a personal relationship with Christ, trusting in those similar words by God to Jesus at the time of his baptism, 'You are my beloved son or daughter. You bring me great joy. You are loved.'" It's about a relationship, an invitation to experience firsthand something bigger than ourselves, becoming a witness of Jesus by becoming part of a community, a body, a family, a church, anchoring ourselves in that love in which we find strength and power to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, going the extra mile, witnessing peace, striving for peace, extending arms of reconciliation, offering acts of compassion and generosity, caring for those in need, moving from hearing about it to being an active participant in it through the invitation. In this morning's scripture, we see these hearts of the disciples captured by the invitation by Jesus. They follow Jesus, they go with Jesus, and not only that, they then also invite others. We read about Philip being invited. Philip goes and invites Nathanael to come follow. The invitation to follow. You know, what was it about Jesus that caused people to follow? I wonder if it was the wonder, the possibilities. Maybe they've tried other things and experienced not what they were looking for, and they found what they were looking for in Jesus, who's able to shake us up. People are seeking more with their life. They're trying to figure things out. Power and possessions is not the answer. There's something more. Friends, the invitation is difficult. It can be challenging. It can be scary. You know, I've always been one who has tried to believe people, to trust people, to almost to a fault. I've been taken advantage of plenty of times. But I've always tried to trust others in what they were telling me, and that they had our best interest at hand, that we were trying to help one another. But I'm finding that instead of trust to loss of trust, we start relationships more now with no trust, and you have to gain the trust. We start in a position of, I don't know you, so I can't trust you. Instead of, I don't know you, but I trust you. It doesn't really matter who you are. It can be a lawyer. It can be a repair person. It can be a doctor. And in the valley, there were billboards, and you're driving down the highway, and it says, a doctor you can trust. Great. Can be a pastor. It doesn't matter. Can be a Christian. We start in this non-trust relationship. We have to gain our trust. And so an invitation is harder than it maybe used to be. Because we don't want to tell people without confidence of tangibility. And Jesus didn't give us a whole lot of tangibility. It was simply come and see. It was a matter of faith. Sometimes we feel like we have to be able to explain or sell Christ in order to get folks through the doors and for them to trust us. And we just don't have that in our faith. It's about relationship. It's about trust coming in what we can't see. It's about a uniqueness and beauty and the mystery of it all. And we can try to explain it, but it just doesn't give it the justice that it deserves. One has to experience it for themselves. And so we are invited to just offer that invitation. That there's one Jesus Christ who can fill and complete that deep desire that is in every one of our hearts, that gives us a peace that passes all understanding. And that when we start our relationship with Jesus, it moves us to know who we are and whose we are, and caring for our brothers and sisters, and caring for our family, and caring for our neighbors near and far away. Come, follow me. Come and see, Jesus says. Each Sunday, Sunday, you have an opportunity to invite someone to come and sit with you, to be present, to hear and to feel the Spirit of God that moves. Sometimes Sunday worship can be over too much for people. So maybe a smaller gathering is better. Maybe it's a prayer breakfast or a Bible study or coming to choir or dance ministry or coming and building a wheelchair ramp. We are the evangelism team to invite others to come to be captured in the love of Jesus. We are the ones who invite others to come and see Jesus of Nazareth, to experience firsthand his love, his compassion, his goodness, his grace. Tomorrow we honor the Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. I hope that if you're not doing anything tomorrow morning, come join me at the Capitol at about 9:30 and walk in the Austin Martin Luther King walk from the Capitol over to Houston Tillotson. Martin Luther King Jr., who out of his desire for reconciliation and peace, he spoke and he marched and he witnessed and most importantly, loved in the way that Jesus desires for all people to be loved. And he had an invitation. Yet he invited people to join with him in a dream, creating a world in which every valley should be exalted and every hill and mountain shall be made low, and the rough places shall be made plain and the crooked places made straight. A place where the glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together. A dream that we're still working on. A dream that won't just happen, but it takes people working together with one another, inviting others to come be a part of it. A dream that comes by knowing the love of Jesus and living it out in a way that we know is too important not to share. May we invite others to be part of the invitation that we see by Jesus, the invitation that we see by the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, to come and follow, to come and see, to come be a part of something bigger than ourselves. May we invite others to come and experience it for themselves. Let us pray. Gracious God, we love you and thank you for this time together. We thank you for the opportunity to be in this place, to be part of something bigger than ourselves as we have been invited into this place of worship, community, family. May we know that we're here by your grace and by your love, and may we have the deepest desire for all to know this, to experience it, to hear about the good news that you have for each one of us. And so, God, may we be an invitational church, an invitational people to encourage others to come and see all that you are doing in our lives and in the lives of others. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We pray all this in Christ's holy name. Amen.